Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Pack Podcast.
Want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Losers Edition, if you want to call it that, of Pulse of the Pack. I'm your host, Jacob Westendorf, sitting in a frozen Appleton hotel room because, well, I couldn't find a way home. So that's one of several things that has gone wrong today. The other thing that has gone wrong is that the Green Bay Packers have suffered defeat yet again, this time at home, at the hands of the Arizona Cardinals, arguably the worst team in the NFL. And, oh, that's right. There's some other news. Jason, you are with me as always. I will give you the honors. I have a feeling we will not be talking much about the game this evening, but why is that?
Good evening, Jacob. It is Sunday evening. We normally, well, sometimes we go on Sunday night. We are not going to talk much about the Arizona Cardinals because they are the worst team in all of football. They have been the worst team in all of football for decades. I live here in Arizona. I can attest. There is no point in talking about them. Screw you, Arizona Cardinals and Larry Fitzgerald. Okay. So the reason we're doing the show, because when the game ended, we connected and talked and kind of agreed that we should wait to do the show until later in the week because we weren't in the mood to do a good show. We want to put out good content for our fans, but we also thought that there was a chance that some things might happen this week and we'll have more to talk about later this week. Well, not even 20 minutes passed and I'm getting another phone call from you and I'm like, they did it. As soon as I saw you trying to call me, I was like, I can't believe they did it. The Green Bay Packers have officially let Mike McCarthy go. They've relieved him of his head coaching duties. A statement by the team was released. Joe Philbin will be the interim head coach, presumably for the rest of this season. No other moves have been announced. And Jacob, since you are the lead host of the show, and now that we have shared the news with all two people out there that probably did not already know this, I will kick it back over to you to start this conversation because we got a lot to get through.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, like you said, we were on the phone and literally not even within 5 minutes, I think, of us hanging up, I got a text message from my cousin that said, wow, McCarthy. And I was like, okay. So my first thought that came into my mind was, okay, so he's either been fired or he said something outlandish, like, oh, I'm only losing because Aaron Rodgers sucks, or, you know, something like that. That was my thought process at the time. And I couldn't find anything. I was driving at the time, so I didn't want to scroll through Twitter. I didn't get like a Bleacher Report notification or anything like that. I just was kind of going off what people were saying. And then when I parked, yeah, I saw Mike McCarthy has been fired, effective immediately. And Joe Philbin is now the Green Bay Packers head coach. And Mike McCarthy has become now the first head coach in the history of the franchise to be let go before the end of a season. And that is, I mean, I wasn't alive in the 70s and the 80s. Jason, you were in your 40s by the time that those years hit. So you remember those very well. I do not. I do not, however. And, I mean, that's just crazy for me to think, just because I know from the history of the team, obviously, how bad those teams were, or how mediocre those teams were at best in the middle of the 80s. And Mike McCarthy is, and we'll get to all this, but, you know, I've said oftentimes, for my money's worth, Mike McCarthy is the best coach in the history of this franchise, not named Vince Lombardi. And I never in a million years thought they would do it. Even as the field goal goes wide right from Mason Crosby, I'm thinking, okay, damn, that sucks. We just lost to the Cardinals. Now what? And I'm reading people saying, like, okay, you know, Peter Bukowski speculates that he wasn't convinced that McCarthy would be giving the press conference tomorrow. And I'm just like, there's no way that they're going to fire a coach in season. It's not something they do. The Packers are a typically conservative franchise. I thought maybe the loyalty of the franchise or something of that sort would play into the thought, you know, some of my thoughts, which I will share as we go along here about Mike McCarthy, that, you know, maybe he had earned the right to coach out his final games in his tenure and just kind of let it be known that he knew he wasn't going to be the coach next year, but at least he would get to coach the final, you know, four or five games. Turns out Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst feel differently, and Mike McCarthy has been relieved of his duties effective immediately. So, Jason, let's start. You obviously watched the game. The Cardinals are on your list of teams that you really hate right after, you know, the Bears, the Vikings, the usual suspects. When Mason Crosby misses that field goal, or as this game is progressing, because even if the Packers had won this game, we would have been talking about a ugly, disgusting, just kind of a meh, for lack of better phrasing, win. And instead, now we're talking about a loss. But, I mean, as Crosby misses that field goal, are you thinking that this is even a possibility?
I wasn't, because that's not how the Packers typically operate. And I got to tell you guys, because we got to lighten it up a little bit here, and it's a somber atmosphere for some. I mean, I know there's a lot of people. I've watched the Twitter reactions over the last 2 hours, because this news is only 2.5 hours old, and there's a lot of people who are happy this team is trying to make statements and make changes, and that's all good and fine. But got to lighten it up a little bit here. So, Jacob, you're in a hotel room in Appleton. For those of you who have never been to Green Bay or to Appleton, just know that Appleton is not Green Bay. It's about 45 minutes up which highway is it?
It's a little south of I-41. It's about 40
okay,
minutes.
So,
well, today with the snow and the ice, it's probably about 45, 50 minutes away from Green Bay. On a normal day, I could probably get from Appleton to Green Bay in about an hour. Or, excuse me, a half hour.
Half hour. And a lot of people opt to stay in Appleton because it's easier to get a hotel there. The hotel rooms are a little bit less expensive out there. But we do the hangouts while we're doing the show, a little let you behind the curtains on Pulse of the Pack here a little bit. We do the Google Hangouts. And right now, Jacob can see me. I can't see him. So whichever hotel, and I work in the hotel industry, so whichever property you're at, Jacob, I would like to help you complain to them about their Wi-Fi or whatever it is that is preventing us from having a visual contact here. So anyway.
Well,
it's a one-sided,
that, I know you're in the
it's
hotel
a one-sided
business.
Thing.
There's
so
a
Jacob
things.
Was from
There's a few things that I have to complain about. This would have been a hell of a lot easier if I could see you. But the Wi-Fi is definitely a concern because I cannot see you. But I can also tell you that as my brother came up for the game last night, thankfully he was able to bring my boots, which was definitely a key today as it was a wet, sloppy, nasty field that I was standing on today. But the first complaint that I have about this hotel room is that, oh, how do I keep this PG-13? They need to soundproof the walls and the ceilings a little bit better. Oh. The couple above me appears to be very happy about the Mike McCarthy news.
Got it. Okay. Well,
gross.
Anyway, I didn't think that they were going to make the change today. I mean, we've seen some changes and different things happen in the off season and since Gutekunst became GM and Mark Murphy and the change in the power structure. But these guys are not playing around. I mean, this is a very successful, and I'm not using his words, this is a very successful head coach. I don't agree about McCarthy being right behind Vince Lombardi. I still give the nod to Mike Holmgren, even though his tenure was shorter. and he obviously didn't win as many games and have as high of a winning percentage. I think part of that had to do with the amount of time that Mike McCarthy spent in Green Bay. But, you know, and obviously he racked up a lot of success and did very, very well, he being McCarthy. So he was a very good head coach. He brought a championship to Green Bay. And let me remind everybody here, too, that, you know, you're going to hear some cliches from both of us throughout this show. It's very unfamiliar territory. Neither of us have gone through a coaching change because we've only been doing this show for – this is our fourth season. And Mike McCarthy's been around longer than that. So we've not been through this before. There is also Mike McCarthy, the man, and his family to consider. So we do want to be considerate of that as well, despite some of our feelings about it being time for this change to happen. And I'll just say that it's hard to win in the NFL. It's hard to win championships. And everybody gives Mike McCarthy a hard time because he didn't win more than one. And he didn't take Aaron Rodgers back. And they collapsed in Seattle. And they had some really rough things happen. It is the relationship problems between he and Rodgers, which, you know, now we have to wonder, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, if those aren't deeper than we thought. I mean, some people were actually arguing that we were making it up and it was much ado about nothing and there was nothing to it. But maybe it was the other way around. Maybe it was deeper than we thought. You have to wonder if maybe that wasn't a reason why they decided that they were better off these next 4 weeks with Joe Philbin or than with him. So, no, I was very disappointed that they lost this game, Jacob, but if you want to spend some time on Arizona, I made my tongue-in-cheek comments and threw my shots at this franchise. I had to drive past their stadium last night, unfortunately. And for those of you who have been to Phoenix, know that it's located in Glendale, and Glendale has its own reputation in Phoenix for being on the west side. So, you know, all those jokes aside, I wasn't surprised. And it really is, that was really the worst part of the day was, you know, I do this pregame show on Cheesehead TV Live at a bar called the Watershed in Tempe. And I turned to my show partner at that time and I said, I have this look on my face. And whenever I get this look on my face, it's involuntary, but it's usually towards the end of a game. And it's because I just have this weird, disgusting feeling in the pit of my stomach that nothing good is going to happen. But I can't explain why, and I can't tell you why. And this was before the defensive back, Pleasant, who I got to be honest, I didn't even realize was on the roster, dropped an interception that might have changed the tide of this game. And before Mason Crosby trotted out to try a field goal that I knew he wasn't going to make because he's just not that kicker anymore. So the short answer to your question, Jacob, no way in hell did I see this change coming, but a very disgusting and very disappointing loss to a really bad Cardinals team. And I'll remind everybody on here, those of you who follow me on Twitter already know this, the Cardinals haven't beat the Packers in Green Bay since 1949 when they were the Chicago Cardinals. So it's been a long time, and this one was bad, bad on all levels.
Yes, it was. And, you know, the game, as you mentioned, is kind of going to go on the back burner, and deservedly so. I mean, this is big news. Realistically, the Packers winning or losing this game doesn't change a whole lot. They're not going to the playoffs. Nothing like that's going to happen. This wasn't a galvanizing moment, a run the table, and nobody's under, you know, the millions of phrases that have come out since Aaron Rodgers has been the quarterback and Mike McCarthy has been the head coach. This was never going to be one of those things. And losing to the Cardinals really just kind of summed up this Packers team to a T, because I've said it all year. You know, I did say on the show when we recorded Thursday night, Jason, that I expected them to win. They beat bad teams at home. Well, this was a bad team, and it was at home, and they did not win. And that was at least surprising to me from that standpoint. But it really sums them up to a T, because you mentioned this Campbell fella, and I don't mean that to be disrespectful. It's just, this is a guy who was signed earlier in the week, and he was thrown out onto the field and drops an interception and then gives up a third and forever conversion to Larry Fitzgerald, who is a freaking legend and deservedly so on that. But at the same time, never a guy – Campbell should never be in that position. You know, the Packers have been ravaged by injuries at the safety position, and there's usually one. The Packers are far from the only team – despite what you may think, average fan. The Packers are not the only team that struggles in terms of injuries. It's football. It's a physical game. Players get hurt. Jason, you want to chime in? Go ahead.
No, real quick, I just wanted to let you know. So Eddie Pleasant is his name. Eddie Pleasant is now wearing number 35. He's a defensive back for the Green Bay Packers. So that Campbell did play today. The interception dropped. Those of us probably thought, you know, oh, my gosh, Jermaine Whitehead is back on this roster. No, that was Eddie Pleasant. And, I didn't realize that he was on this roster. Just unfortunately couldn't make a play that might have changed the tide of this game. But I know you're talking about Campbell, and Campbell played a lot today. I think he played a lot last week as well, and that's just kind of where the Packers are at in terms of their personnel with injuries and such. So that's all I want to say.
Yeah, my apologies for that. The play actually happened on the cross side of the field for me, so I can only see like half of his number. So forgive me on that. I haven't seen the broadcast version of the game yet. I'm going to be honest with you guys, probably not going to watch it. I give credit to guys like Ben Fennell and Ross Uglum and Andy Herman and those guys that sit through and go through the film, because I wouldn't have done that shit, to quote Dave Chappelle. I can't imagine sitting there and having to watch that game again, because watching it the first time was not enjoyable. Even had they won, watching that film would not have been enjoyable. So I do not envy those guys in the slightest. But, yeah, so Eddie Pleasant drops the interception. Either way, it's a guy who you went out on the field this year and you're like, okay, Packers safeties, you have HaHa Clinton Dix, you have Josh Jones, you have Kentrell Bryce, Marwin Evans, maybe Tremont Williams can go back there a little bit. I just named five guys, and I haven't gotten to those dudes yet. I mean, that's the situation they're in right now. And it's not fair to Pleasant, but, you know, as they say in the NFL, next man up, you got to be ready when your number's called upon. He had a chance to turn the tide of the game, and just like pretty much everyone on the Packers this season, they've had the ball in their hand or at least something in their court with a chance to win the game. If it's not Ty Montgomery fumbling a kickoff, it's Aaron Jones fumbling against the New England Patriots. If it's not that, it's something else. It's the Packers completely melting down in Minnesota. It's an ass-whipping that they took in Detroit where Mason Crosby missed four field goals. It's a lot of different things, and it's a huge combination of everything together of a team finding a way to lose, and that's something under Mike McCarthy they hadn't done for the first 11 years of his tenure. More often than not, they found ways to win when their backs were against the wall, and they weren't doing that anymore. So that's kind of my thoughts in general on the game. There isn't a whole lot there. The offense was bad. The defense, I mean, it was all right. I mean, it's not horrible by any stretch. However, you're facing one of the worst offenses in football. There was nothing that the Cardinals did today that made me go, damn, they just made a play there, outside of the big play by Larry Fitzgerald. That's about it. But other than that, they didn't do anything that made me said, you know what, it's just their day and they're going to beat us today. They didn't do anything like that. That's the frustrating part. But to get back to the big news again, because I'm not going to – to be honest with you guys, I'm relatively sure that 80% of you don't give a shit about what we think about a game between two shitty teams. And that's realistically what this was today. The thoughts on Mike McCarthy, the thing that comes to mind, Jason, is, you know, I see the reactions. I see some people think of it poorly. Some people think of it as it's a great thing and they're celebrating. I, for one, will not celebrate a man getting fired. That is my opinion. And I'll get to it a little bit more. Here's my reasoning, and we've talked about this before, on why I would not fire Mike McCarthy midseason. Now, different information can change opinions. My opinion has not changed. I believe a few things. First of all, I believe Mike McCarthy has earned the right to finish out his tenure in Green Bay. I believe that maybe that's my feelings getting away, and I will let you guys know flat out, because you're going to hear a few stories I haven't told a lot of people before. My interactions with Mike McCarthy, those sorts of things. The person I think he is big time. And I'll get to that stuff, obviously. But it's hard to agree with this decision when I believe, like I said, I believe he's earned that opportunity. He has a win percentage of about 63% as the Packers head coach. He has a Super Bowl title. He has a street named after him in Green Bay, Wisconsin, because of his prowess as the head coach. And again, you can mock all that if you want to. But objectively, you can't look at the situation and say, no, Mike McCarthy's a crappy head coach, and he has been the entire time in Green Bay. That's just not true. There's so many good things he did in Green Bay as the head coach. The other thing is I call it the Clay Helton theory. And Jason, you live in the Pac-12 area, so you kind of understand this. But USC, Steve Sarkisian, because he is the perhaps the drinking equivalent in college to that of our friend of the show, Matt Prater, that he gets fired because of his issues. And then Clay Helton gets hired, and then the Trojans go on a bit of a run and emotionally hire Clay Helton. And this season, Clay Helton is on the hot seat. It turns out they're not firing him. They're going to do something else. Well, something else. They're going to keep him. But they should have never hired him in the first place. That's USC. You are a premier college football program. There are NFL offensive coordinators that would leave their job for USC. There are college head coaches that would leave that job for USC. There are college head coaches at good programs right now. For example, James Franklin's at a good program, Penn State University. He's a pretty good coach. I enjoy mocking him as a Michigan fan because I think he's kind of a cornball, but that's my opinion. But he would probably at least listen, if not leave his job, for that job at USC. No offense to Penn State, but USC is just on a different level in terms of what that job is. And they hired somebody emotionally, and they're paying the price for it. The reason I didn't want McCarthy fired in season is a few reasons, but another one of them is, again, Clay Helton theory. So, Joe Philbin is the interim head coach. The Packers play Atlanta, Chicago, New York, and Detroit to close the season. If they go 3-1 or 4-0 or something like that, there could be some emotional charge to making Joe Philbin the head coach. Now, do I think that scenario is likely? I don't. My guess is if they were going to fire Mike McCarthy in season, they wanted to get a jump start and find the best possible candidate. However, I would like to just eliminate that possibility altogether. I have no desire to see Joe Philbin as the head coach, and that's nothing against Coach Philbin. He's been a very upstanding man. He's had some difficult issues in Green Bay, obviously. We remember 2011, all those sorts of things. He's handled everything about as well as you could for that situation. I saw him as a head coach in Miami. I have no desire to see that. I saw Mike Pettine as a head coach in Cleveland. I don't want to see that. There's a lot of just things that can go wrong here by firing the head coach. Now, ultimately, I have to trust Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, and we'll talk about how we think this is going to go down because we really don't know. I have to trust those guys that they're going to do the best thing for this franchise. However, this does at least open a crack of the door of them hiring the wrong head coach or somebody who's already on the staff, and I don't want to see that. So, Jason, I say all that to say we've kind of talked about this before, but the Cardinals are the Cardinals to you. Does the loss to them today change your opinion? Is this the right move to fire Mike McCarthy right now on December 2nd at about 5 o'clock p.m.?
My answer is going to vary from everybody else's and yours and anyone else's because it depends on what you value. I value accountability, so yes, I'm all for it. I think it sends a message that if you don't want to be here, get out. And it doesn't matter who you are. Aaron Rodgers all the way down to guy number 53 on the roster. You don't want to be here. This administration, this regime, and I have to believe that maybe Brian Gutekunst has more of a voice than we thought, even though it's kind of an interesting power structure, and Mark Murphy really has the final say on everything, but maybe he's got more of a voice in the room because they're doing different things. I mean, they sent three players away. They traded HaHa Clinton Dix. They weren't going to keep him, get some value for him. It doesn't seem like a move that Ted Thompson would have made. Ty Montgomery and Jermaine Whitehead packing after making errors in a game, simple errors that cost their team either yards or momentum or, you know, potentially a game, as in the case of Montgomery in Los Angeles. We'll never know. But it sends a message that this is, you know, if you want to be here and be a part of this, great. But if you don't, you're going to be gone in a New York minute. And that's that. Simple as that. And I happen to value that, and I happen to find that to be a good way to operate a football team because it's football. This is a little bit different than corporate America. It's a performance-based business, and it's one that you have to show up ready to perform at a high level at every single game. And that's why less than 1% of our population plays professional football. It's really hard. And it's also hard to win in the NFL. We talked about that. I said that earlier. So don't take away from what Mike McCarthy accomplished. And you can say Aaron Rodgers had everything to do with that. Fine. But he still had to get everybody to buy into his program. The disappointing thing for longstanding fans like you and I, Jacob, and a lot of people listening to this show, are that at one time he had that. Mike McCarthy had the locker room. He had this team under control. He had this team singing off of his sheet of music. They were all singing off of the same sheet of music, and he lost that. That's hard to swallow. Some people will say it's embarrassing. Sure. Okay. I mean, every team's going to have a down season and there's downturns, and these are the types of things that happen. Injuries play a factor. Aaron Rodgers having an abysmal season for reasons I still can't totally understand happen. And unfortunately, Mike McCarthy's the fall guy because he's at the top of the pyramid. My cousin, who's a staunch Bears fan, was texting with me back and forth and told me he did not agree. He thought this was kind of a bad, classless move by the Packers and a disrespect to Mike McCarthy. Well, first of all, we don't know what happens behind the scenes. We don't know what really is going on in the locker room. Like I said before, too, we don't know how deep the problems with Rodgers are. And the reality of the business is you've got a head coach who's got one more year on his deal who's already struggling, and there's rumors that he's out at the end of this season, even if they make the playoffs, which only six teams do in each conference. Only 12 out of 32 teams make the playoffs. He's still out. And you've got a very expensive quarterback with hopefully several years left to play who just signed an extension. Who do you think is out the door when there's problems? It's pretty simple. So there was nothing to lose further by letting McCarthy go, but I think there was something to gain, and that was that this team is being told, essentially, those guys in the locker room are being told, the change starts now. We're not going to wait till Black Monday. We're not going to ride out the end of this season. They saw how the last month of last year went. As soon as the Packers lost to Carolina, and that was it, they shut Aaron Rodgers down. And we watched 2 weeks of really, really pitiful football. So they're not going through that again. And if they have to cut and turn over half of this roster and put a roster full of undrafted free agents out there in the last week of the season against the Lions, don't think they won't, because the message has been received loud and clear by me, the fan, is they're not putting up with this anymore. So from that standpoint, yes, I agree with the move. Now, we had a couple questions via Twitter, and I want to thank those of you who sent questions because we don't always get them. And obviously us being one of the first shows to go after this news break, there's a lot of people that have a lot of questions. So one of them comes from Thorny on Twitter, and I direct messaged him and I said, hey, I don't know what your first name is. And he said, I've been called Thorny my whole life. So I'm like, okay, I'll go with that. So he says that he wants us to maybe address, Jacob, why didn't Mike Pettine want the interim job? Why hand it over to Joe Philbin, who coordinated this disastrous offense this year? It appears now that Pettine and everyone else is likely to be blown out when the new head coach comes to town. Rusty Weiss, longtime listener. Thank you, Rusty. Being involved already, what might Philbin change in the Packers offense? So, Jacob, I'll kick it back over to you. You got kind of a two-pronged thing here. What can we expect with Philbin now being the interim head coach? And then is there any thoughts that you have on maybe why Mike Pettine, who said he doesn't want to be a head coach anymore, didn't take the interim job? Do you think he'll survive the coaching change?
Well, I'll start with Joe Philbin, and I'll say, as far as what will change, I doubt a whole lot. I mean, this offense is – Joe Philbin runs an offense very similar to Mike McCarthy's. It's not like all of a sudden we're going to see Sean McVay's offense on the field. So from that standpoint, I doubt there's a whole lot. I do think, however, having been in the stadium today and just kind of watched how the team reacted to a few things, there may be at least some sigh of relief that, maybe Joe Philbin's not going to fire up the troops and inspire somebody. That's probably not his thing, but it'll at least be they won't be like dreading the sound of that thick Pittsburgh accent talking about fundamentals of catching the football or CAD level or just the things that, Jason, every week you and I know exactly what Mike McCarthy is going to say in his press conferences. So from that standpoint, I don't think a whole lot changes for Joe Philbin. As for Mike Pettine, it's kind of a hard question to answer. I understand the question because I do think it's been made clear. Mike Pettine's a good coach. I think that's clear. The Packers defense is not good. It's not championship level, but I don't think that's a result of coaching. I think that's a result of, we can do this in the offseason, but you look up and down this defense, there's just not a whole lot of guys there that you're like, man, that dude's a stud. That's about it. There's not a whole lot there. But I don't know that Pettine was offered the interim job. I don't know when this decision was made. I don't know if it was, hey, they got fired and Murphy makes a phone call. We really don't know how it happened. know, maybe Mark Murphy made a phone call and said, hey, Brian, what do you think? I think we should fire the head coach. Are you on board? Gutekunst says yes. And they're like, okay, so who wants to be, you know, who do we want to be the head coach? And then we just say, I'll let Joe do it. You know, no big deal there. So that's kind of what I think as far as why Philbin got the job instead of Mike Pettine. But as far as Pettine surviving the head coaching change, here's kind of my thing. And it's been talked about how a lot of people kind of want to make it a condition on the head coach being hired that Mike Pettine is allowed to stay. He's your defensive coordinator. And I don't know that that's fair. You know, what if the next head coach has a defensive coordinator in mind? And we don't know if he's just as good or better or worse than Mike Pettine is. I do think there's certainly some advantages to the young defensive players, Jair Alexander, Joshua Jackson, Kenny Clark, Kevin King, some of the guys being able to play in the same system for 2 years instead of King's case being in his second system in 3 years and Jair Alexander and the rookies being in their second system in two. I think there's some advantage to that. However, I wouldn't handcuff the head coach and compromise the possibility of your head coach not wanting to bring back Mike Pettine and therefore saying, well, screw this. I don't want to be told what I'm going to do and who I'm going to hire because, you know, let's say next year if the Packers' defense sucks and I think that there needs to be a coaching change, am I allowed to make it then? That would at least be a fair question by the head coach. So what I would say is, as far as the head coaching change is, don't make it a condition. You can suggest, hey, you know, Mike Pettine did a really good job with our defense last year. Somebody you should consider an interview. I think that would be fair. But to just handcuff the next head coach and say, this is your defensive coordinator, no questions asked, I don't think that's fair. And I think that the Packers should look to – because then it's like, do you just draw the line at Mike Pettine? Or there's some, you know, assistants on this team that are highly thought of, like James Campen, the offensive line coach, or Joe Witt, the passing game coordinator, those sorts of things. You know, do you just stop at Mike Pettine? I would say the head coach should be allowed to hire whoever the hell he wants. And if that's Mike Pettine, great. I'm for it. I'm not saying I want Mike Pettine fired, but I don't think that he should be a handcuff in this situation. So, Jason, what are your thoughts on that? I hope I answered your guys' questions. If I didn't, feel free to yell at me, but I hope I did.
Well, I don't expect a whole lot. I think Joe Philbin is the safest option to kind of keep the ship at least afloat, because at this point, the only thing the Packers need to do is not sink into the river, water, ocean, whatever body of water it be. And what does sink mean? I don't know. I mean, completely fall apart. The season's over in terms of any hope. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what fall apart would be. But that's Joe Philbin's job, and it's not going to be very, you know, we're not going to see anything creative. Don't expect anything new. Don't expect out of him. You know, for all I know, he may just let Aaron Rodgers kind of run the offense these next couple games, because what difference does it make? And that seems to be what Rodgers wants to do anyway. So, you know, from that front, that's kind of how I feel about the Philbin hire. It was the obvious one to make if Pettine didn't want it. And the other thing, you know, if any of these guys did want that role, then, you know, you kind of got to interview them for next year or consider them for next year. If not, then, you know, I don't know how else they would have handled it. But Mike Pettine, you know, my hope is that, you know, I think I'm in your camp. My hope is that, you know, whoever comes in gets the choice. And I do hope that they would choose to keep him. I like what he's doing with some of these young defensive players. But I'm not going to live and die by the Pettine, you know, on the Pettine train here. I mean, if a guy comes in and he's got his own coordinator he wants to roll with and he feels good about it, bring that guy in. Make the entire system yours, because, like you said, you don't want to piece it together and you don't want to force the coach to have to do that. It's going to dilute the pool, all the things that you said. It was a good, you know, your take was very similar to mine on that. So the only other question we got on Twitter, which I'm sure we'll get to, and even if not extensively in this show, we're going to have I would assume a lot of time between now and the end of the season to talk about who might be the next permanent head coach. But that was the other question that we got was, you know, which names are out there, and that came from Andy on Twitter. So, Andy, thanks for your question. He said, top candidates, I'd like to see Riley get a shot, that being Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma. And Lincoln Riley's Oklahoma Sooners won their conference championship game against Texas on Saturday, so they will be moving on and playing in an important college bowl game. And this comes back to last week's show that we talked about where, you know, we opined what might happen if Mike McCarthy was let go after the season, not knowing that it was going to be less than a week later than he was. And would the college playoffs have any effect on the availability of a top or hot college prospect that the Packers may want? And we kind of addressed that. I don't know. I personally am not one that likes to just buy into narratives and the hot and heavy names that get thrown around constantly in the media and amongst the analysts. And I think Lincoln Riley is a name that got thrown out there early on when it became obvious that the Packers and McCarthy might need to part ways after this season. And the whole thing has just turned into, it was gone from a snowball into a full-blown avalanche. And now everybody just talks about Lincoln Riley because it's the hot and fancy name that everybody wants to use because that's what they're hearing on the radio and that's what they're hearing on TV. And I don't care about that stuff. I want a guy who's going to come in to coach this team, who's going to bring everyone together. You want to talk about a galvanizing moment. It's clearly not happening with the Packers this year as a team to get them into any kind of meaningful postseason play. The galvanizing moment is now. It's Mike McCarthy being let go before the end of the season and how this team responds for the next 4 weeks. And then obviously that is going to move into next season. There's going to be some guys on this roster who aren't going to be back. There's going to be some guys who may be back. And it's going to start to change. You know, this year there were a lot of holdovers. You had the GM change, and they gave McCarthy a chance to kind of come in and you know, work with Rodgers. Last year he got a pass because Rodgers was hurt. And this year you've pretty much had Aaron Rodgers every week, and he's gotten healthier. And they still can't win games. And your all-pro quarterback is not playing well. So, you know, Joe Philbin's not going to fix that, obviously. But the next head coach does kind of need to. Jacob, you mentioned Favre and McCarthy, the last couple of years of Favre being a Packer and being here with Mike McCarthy. We better hope that happens with Aaron Rodgers because, you know, the number of years that are left with an Aaron Rodgers that can go out and win a championship are probably a lot fewer than there are, you know, there's fewer ahead than there are behind him. So it's the last 4 weeks and just get through with what they've got, and that's going to be Joe Philbin running his team as head coach.
That he is. And, you know, we've kind of gone over that. You want to talk about candidates? I've gone over, you know, I don't have specific names. For those of you that are going to ask me, I appreciate the questions. I appreciate that you value my insight enough on that. I will tell you the last time that the Packers were going to hire a head coach, I had no idea who the hell Mike McCarthy was. And I wanted them to cater to Brett Favre and wanted them to hire Steve Mariucci. So let's just say be very thankful that 14-year-old me was not in charge of the Packers at that time because Mariucci had been somebody who the game had passed him by. Now, here are my thoughts on, again, I have it. It's my pinned tweet, so you can feel free to reference that anytime you'd like. Young, offensive-minded, invested in analytics and the modern-day ways of thinking, and not Josh McDaniels, and I would prefer not John DeFilippo either. Those are two really popular names. I know that. I understand that. I'll explain why now. Josh McDaniels to start. The short version of analysis is Josh McDaniels is a weenie. And I know that's like a really real mature thing to say, but basically what I mean by that, you know, the thing he did to the Colts is absolutely unforgivable in my opinion. He had people lined up for those jobs, his assistants in Indianapolis, and then he bailed on them at the last moment, left them at the altar. I don't respect that. I think that a lot of people think that good head coach means good play caller. And the reality of the situation is that a head coach also has to be a leader of men. And I don't know if the players would respond to somebody like Josh McDaniels because of the things that had happened in his past. In addition, his stint in Denver isn't exactly awe-inspiring. And on top of it all, let me ask you a question, Jason. Josh McDaniels takes the job in Green Bay. First of all, I would be the most fired up that maybe I've ever been to do a show like this. I can promise you that. Secondly, do you really believe, let's say that he takes the job and he comes next year, and Belichick and Brady say they're coming back for, you know, another year, and then it comes out during the season that Belichick and Brady are both retiring, and Robert Kraft calls Josh McDaniels. Do you really believe that if Robert Kraft says, hey, Josh, we want you to be the coach of the Patriots, that his response would be, Robert, with all due respect, I appreciate everything you've done for me, but I am 100% committed to the Green Bay Packers, because I don't believe that for 2 seconds. And what you don't want is a situation where the Packers fired, or Mike Holmgren left. He wasn't fired, excuse me. Mike Holmgren resigned, and then they ended up hiring Ray Rhodes. And 1 year later, they were looking for another head coach. I don't want that. You know, the next head coach, I want him to be around for a while. I don't know how long that while is. I mean, obviously with Mike McCarthy, I wanted him around and things were on their course. That happens. That's understandable. But the Packers need to get this hire right, because then if you hire the head coach and say McDaniels leaves after a year, now you're back to the drawing board. You're right back to where you started. And honestly, it might even set you back a year, because then you just wasted that entire time of learning McDaniels' system to where now they're going to bring in Jason Perron as the head coach, just for example, and now they'll have to learn his system. And please, God, do not let that happen. I can only imagine. You guys think Mike McCarthy's not a good head coach? Can you imagine Upbeat Lollipop as the Packers head coach? So, Jason, I say that. If Mike McCarthy, or excuse me, if Josh McDaniels is a coach, do you really believe that he would tell Robert Kraft a year later, no, I'm committed to Green Bay? Like, would you trust that at all?
No, we went over this on the last show or the show before that. Not at all. No. I'm going to trust whoever the Packers choose. If it is McDaniels, you're going to have to convince, you and I are going to need a lot of convincing that it was a good decision. And I think you and I can both be had if the facts are known and it makes sense and we see something different than what we know. What we know right now is that McDaniels is a Patriot guy. I mean, he was let go in Denver, and he was back in New England coaching before the end of that season. So that to me tells me that he's going to have a heart problem in staying, not like, you know, heart disease, or his heart is not healthy, but he's going to have a problem really putting his heart into playing or coaching somewhere else, because he just seems so ingrained with the Patriots. So that's one right now that I'd kind of like to see go towards the bottom of the list, honestly, of the list of candidates.
That sounded suspiciously like a dig at Urban Meyer, which means I am all for it, a freaking weasel. But, so you mentioned candidates. That's where I'm at. You know, Lincoln Riley's an example. I know he's the hot name. Jason, you don't necessarily buy into that because of those things, but he is somebody that would check all those boxes. Now, I have reservations. He's a college coach. He's never coached in the NFL before. That would be a big jump for him. But the reality of the situation is, unless they hire somebody who's an established head coach, like, for example, this will never happen, so don't think of this as anything other than speculation, it's spitballing, is if Sean McVay wanted to come be the coach in Green Bay, then you would feel pretty comfortable because you've seen how he does as a head coach. When you hire somebody who hasn't been a head coach before, you don't know how they're going to respond once they're in that chair. Every decision, the W or the L, as Mac Brown told Eric Taylor in Friday Night Lights, that goes next to your name now. It doesn't go next to the head coach that you were the offensive coordinator under or anything like that. So, of course there's concern. But that's the situation they're in. And the reality is, you know, the Packers, and myself included, I'm guilty of this, and we'll get some more on it. The reality is the Packers have, you know, I always said when they fire Mike McCarthy, my question that I want to have an answer to from you is, who should they hire? Well, then I realize now that's not a fair question for me to ask you, because you don't know. I mean, you're not interviewing anybody. We're not in that room with Brian Gutekunst. We don't know if this guy is a bad interview and blubbers over himself like Brady Hoke did when he was at Michigan. One of the worst press conferences I've ever seen. Couldn't believe that they hired that guy once I listened to him talk. But we don't know. And, you know, I was guilty of, okay, so the guy that they have, I know Mike McCarthy's a good coach, but maybe, you know, I have the benefit of hindsight now, obviously, but maybe that's something they should have done a couple years ago. And it's easy to say that now. No sense, you know, crying over spilled milk, as the saying goes. Let's get back to the process that, you know, that kind of happened here as far as Mike McCarthy getting fired. Mike, too many Mikes and Marks and M names in general in this organization, but Mark Murphy released a statement that basically said he's been, you know, I've made the difficult decision to relieve him of his duties effective immediately, yada, yada, yada. According to reports, Brian Gutekunst was consulted and agreed to the parting of ways with the head coach. So that leads to the question now is, who is hiring the head coach? And I don't think any of us can really know until it happens how it's going to work. Here is my speculation. Last season, or last winter, the Yankees hired a new manager. It was Aaron Boone. And what happened was Brian Cashman, the general manager, got all of his guys, his baseball people, his analytics department, all that stuff, and he interviewed four or five people. And eventually they went to Hal Steinbrenner with their recommendation, and their recommendation was Aaron Boone. And Hal Steinbrenner signed his blessing, said, go ahead, that's your guy, hire him. Now, this isn't a baseball show where we could sit here and talk about how I feel about Aaron Boone, but we're not going to do that today. What happened there, I think, is similar to what's going to happen here. I would guess that Brian Gutekunst is going to lead this head coaching search. And again, just throwing some names out here, but I doubt that if Brian Gutekunst said, hey, Mark, you know, I've interviewed these people and I feel Lincoln Riley is the best coach for the Green Bay Packers, he would take the job if offered. I don't believe that Mark Murphy would say, you know what? No, every coach we've hired has known something about the Packers. Jason, I think I talked about this last week, so I'm kind of repeating myself, but I don't think he would say, no, you know what? Everybody that we've hired has had something to do with the Packers. They know our ways. They know our systems. Let's go ahead and hire Ben McAdoo. Again, just a name to throw out there. I doubt he's somebody who gets an interview, or at least I hope he doesn't, with all due respect to the comb-over, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think that if Gutekunst says, I want this guy, it's very similar to the way I feel like the roster was built this offseason. I don't think that Brian Gutekunst went to Murphy and Russ Ball and said, hey, I'm signing Jimmy Graham. And they said, no, you know what? We can't afford that. So we're going to hire, or, you know, we're not going to sign Jimmy Graham. Obviously they did. I don't think he went to them with another free agent signing, like say, oh, you know, we're going to sign Sammy Watkins. Again, just a name. And I don't think that those guys said no. So I think that Murphy's power grab, if you will, that it's being portrayed as in the media was, I think that was just for show. I think that he definitely reads the comments that mouth breathers put out there, that he only cares about Titletown District and the Sledding Hill, and he's just a bean counter and a business doof, those sorts of things. It's pretty clear to me, at least, that for all the criticism that has come to Mark Murphy has been proven false, because Brian Gutekunst, as you mentioned, Jason, Jermaine Whitehead, gone. Let's go under previous leadership. I can promise you all these guys, if Ted Thompson was the general manager, would still be here right now. Jermaine Whitehead, gone. Ty Montgomery, insubordinate, gone. Ha ha Clinton Dix, openly talking about how he's not going to be in Green Bay next year, gone. Now Mike McCarthy. Packers playing below their standards. They're 4-7-1 and not going to make the playoffs for the first time with Aaron Rodgers as the full-time starting quarterback since 2008. Gone. I think that Mark Murphy is, if it's Mark Murphy or Brian Gutekunst, whoever it is trying to prove there's a new sheriff in town. There's some new ways that are going on here in Green Bay, and you either perform or you get the hell out. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean I agree with every move that I just mentioned, but some of you guys have to eat some crow on your criticisms of this Packers power structure, because everybody has said, you know, oh, they won't fire McCarthy in season because Murphy loves him and he's a pansy and whatever it is. It doesn't matter what the criticism was. That's been proven to be false, I believe. So, Jason, as this head, I mean, the head coaching search, I would imagine, has begun to at least some degree at this point. What do you think is going to happen? And I'm asking you with, you know, no inside knowledge, anything like that. So this is speculation, but it's fun, right? What do you think is going to happen here as this coaching search heats up as of, I would say, again, right now?
Well, this is the best. This is why we did the show, because I don't know how long we're going to have to answer this question. After what I saw today, are you convinced that we have a set amount of time to know before this? I mean, it could be tomorrow before they have a coach named, or it could be another 2 or 3 months from now. I don't know. I have no idea, because they might want to wait out and see if they can talk to all candidates because they really want to get this right. I think, whatever they do, I think you got to get it right. I don't think, and I don't say that in terms of that, you know, they're going to just the wall and hope that it sticks. You know, obviously you want to get it right. Everybody's jobs are riding on the line in terms of having a coach that can successfully coach up this team. By the way, for those of you who are all over T.J. Watt and love T.J. Watt. He just dropped an interception on Sunday Night Football against the Los Angeles Chargers that he probably should have caught. I'm joking. I'm totally joking. It's going to be one of the most interesting storylines in the NFL because this Packers job does not come open very often. It's been 13 years since it was open, and we're going on almost – I mean, Favre started the train in 1992, 2018. So we're 26 years into a successful run of a franchise that took a long time to get back to that point. So this is very pivotal time. I don't think they can make a quick decision here because so many things happen around the league after the season's over with coaching changes. We see a couple of surprise guys let go, assistants get let go. There's too many guys that are coaching on their teams right now that are not available to be hired that the Packers should make this decision within the next month, and I hope that they don't. I mean, I hope they take their time. So what that's going to do, though, is both good and bad, Jacob, because you and I obviously do a show that's based on content, and we want to have content and things to talk about. But there's going to be a ton of speculation. We're going to see a ton of names thrown around and verified sources and unverified, and there's going to be false rumors and – you know, guys' names who get hot and they become the narrative and they become the next Lincoln Riley. And it's probably going to drive us crazy. And we're going to probably have at least a spot on every show from now through the end of the season to talk about it. But I think they've got to get it right. And I honestly think the Packers should try to hire the absolute best guy for the job. And if it's somebody who's difficult to get, go for it. Try for it. Go for the guy that's going to do the most for this franchise. Don't settle. Don't take some, you know, Ted Thompson loved to find the gems that nobody was looking at. He loved to watch film on guys that no one else was watching, and that usually equated to undrafted free agents and trying to find value from them. Don't approach your head coaching job search that way. Don't try to, you know, bring some guy in from some D3 school or the equivalent thereof in name or in stature, and hope that they can overperform. You've got a lot of good things happening, or I shouldn't say happening because they're not happening right now, but you've got a lot of good things possible with this roster. I mean, Jair Alexander returning punts should have happened a lot sooner, but you've got a multi-talented cornerback who played really well today, got beat deep by a player who's playing for the Cardinals that actually went to my alma mater high school here locally. So it was doubly disappointing to see that guy beating up on the Packers. And then my own Zane Gonzalez, the former Sun Devil kicker, kicked the dagger today. But the Packers have to get it right. And so my biggest point here is go for the gusto. You got a guy that you really want, and you're not sure if you can pull them away, go for it. And I think they will, because the Packers have tried to make some big moves. They tried to bring Kyle Fuller in. The Bears re-signed him. They tried to trade for Khalil Mack. That didn't happen. You know, make all the Bears jokes that you want. They lost to the New York Giants today, by the way, while we're talking about jokes. So that's all I ask. All I ask is that they take their time, bet all their options, but go for it all, because we want success back in Green Bay. And, you know, you've definitely reset this fan's – I'm pointing to myself. You've definitely reset this fan's mind in terms of what it means to go to the playoffs, because I was taking it for granted. And this is going to be the second year now that I'm not going to have a playoff game to look forward to. And I'm already pretty sick of it, Jacob. I'm sure you are too.
I am. But this is something where, Jason, you mentioned, this is as interesting for a lot of reasons, and this is as dysfunctional of a time I can remember in Green Bay since the summer of Favre in 2008. And we all remember that year. The Packers were on SportsCenter every single day because they didn't know if their starting quarterback was going to be Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. And it was a daily thing. You know, one day it was quiet. The next day, Brett's on Greta and they're talking about, oh, they're bringing him back. No, they're trading him. It's just a very interesting time here in Green Bay because, you know, like I mentioned earlier, this isn't normal. The Packers have never fired a head coach before the season ended. That's crazy to me. You know, I mentioned it earlier for several reasons. So they're getting a head start on their head coaching search. That's something we'll track, you know, all off season, all season, whenever it is that they hire their head coach, obviously we'll be all over it. It could be tomorrow. It could be, you know, January 10th. We don't know. Usually what Black Monday this year falls on New Year's Eve. So with Black Monday falling on New Year's Eve, usually teams hire their coaches within about a week of that, depending on who their coach is. Now, if the Packers were to get a head coach from a playoff team that goes deep in the playoffs, you know, say they want to hire John DeFilippo, but the Vikings are playing in the NFC Championship game. Let's hope to God that doesn't happen, but it's not. Kirk Cousins is their quarterback, but that's not somebody that they're going to be able to hire until later on. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. Another thing that's possible too, though, is the college football playoff. Again, I'm pretty much just talking about Lincoln Riley here, but the college football playoff starts, 4 weeks from today, 3 weeks from today, something like that. Starts on the 29th, I believe, is the day. Oklahoma's playing in that. If they win, then they're playing Alabama, so I'm not going to hold my breath. But if they win, then that's another week that you have to wait to hire potentially someone like Lincoln Riley. So that's going to be interesting to follow. There's a lot of things that are going to happen between now and then. You're going to hear a lot of names. One report, which I don't necessarily buy, out of a Minnesota radio station, is that the Packers believe that the top person on their list is P.J. Fleck, row the boat, the guy from University of Minnesota right now. I don't buy that. If it turns out I'm wrong, feel free to make fun of me, but I don't buy that. So I'll wait and see on those things. Jason, what I want to do now, and I think that, you know, we've gone over whether it's the right move. We've gone over, you know, how Green Bay has done it, what they've done. I believe that this is a time right now where we should pay some respect, not that he died or anything like that, but just pay some respects to Coach McCarthy because, as I've mentioned, it's a moniker, it's become a punchline, but he was a highly successful head coach. He was a very good head coach in Green Bay. I think that we should talk about some of the good things. You know, it's like remember the good times instead of the bad sort of thing. Yes, it was the right time. I don't agree that the right time was now, but that doesn't matter what I think right now because the Packers did it. So we're talking about a new head coach, but to go through some things, Jason, where I want to start is obviously the Super Bowl comes to mind right away. That's going to be the happiest moment in any tenure that involves any team that wins a Super Bowl, obviously. But what is your favorite moment in Mike McCarthy's tenure? Because I have a very distinct one that sticks out in my mind, but what is yours?
Well, I know you've spoken to him, so yours probably is unique to that. As far as I go, for me, I have a hard time going anywhere else except for after they won Super Bowl 45, because it's goal of what you try to achieve as a head coach in the NFL. And that meant that not only did he get the Packers back to a Super Bowl, which is why, you know, Green Bay is referred to as Title Town, because that's what we have had a lot of in our history. Unfortunately, a lot of them were a long, long time ago. But he also successfully navigated the transition from Favre to Rodgers, and that was absolutely no gimme. There was a lot of us that were freaking out when Brett Favre left and the summer of 08 happened because we weren't sure if we'd ever see another championship again. A quarterback like Brett Favre is generational, and you know, a lot of franchises, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime type of a deal. So there was no guarantee that Rodgers was going to work out. And I was one of those skeptics who didn't think that he would. So to me, it was winning the Super Bowl. And, you know, I think you could also point to the making the decision, the transition from Favre to Rodgers, because without making that move, that we're not where we're at as far as all the things the Packers have accomplished and all the games that they've won. But I don't know if that was McCarthy's decision. And I don't know if that was solely his decision or if he was the majority voice in the room. So I'm going to go with Super Bowl 45. It's hard to beat that. How do you beat that? You know, that's what you play the games for. That's your ultimate goal. That's the one thing the fans want more than anything else. You know, it only happened one time. So I don't know how you go, you know, unless you've had a personal moment with Mike McCarthy or interaction, like I'm sure you will allude to yourself, Jacob. I don't know how you look in any other direction in terms of his best moment in the 13 years he was here.
Yeah, the Super Bowl comes to mind immediately, obviously. Like you said, that's the pinnacle. I remember reaching for the television as he held up the trophy. I mean, I was an emotional wreck when they won the Super Bowl, let's be honest. Outside of my wedding day, that's probably the most that I've ever cried in a given day. And that means a lot of good things have happened in my life as opposed to bad. So that's a good thing. For a specific moment, I go back to a few things. One personal, one on the television screen, and that was after they lost in New England in Foxborough in 2010. Matt Flynn played quarterback that night. The Packers were right there in a game that they should have gotten blown out in. New England went 14-2 that season. They were the best team in the NFL. And McCarthy knew that they controlled their own destiny, so that was a positive. The DeSean Jackson punt return for a touchdown obviously gave them a chance to control their own destiny. I worked my first game for NFL Films the next week. The Packers didn't lose again until the next December at Kansas City and won the Super Bowl. But Mike McCarthy looks right at the camera, right at the reporter, and says, hey, you know, we're nobody's underdogs. And that still sends chills down my spine. Listening to a coach who has a team who's back against the wall and basically looks him in the eye and says, hey, I know that we're not, you know, basically, I know that we're not as good as we should be right now, but we aren't anybody's underdogs. We're the Green Bay Packers. And the Green Bay Packers aren't anybody's underdogs. And we're going to go out this week and we're going to kick the shit out of the Giants. We're going to beat the Bears. We're going to go to the playoffs. And then we're going to win the Super Bowl. Obviously, he didn't say those things right on there. But that's how I felt in that moment was we got a shot. And this guy believes, so I should too. And I did. And they won the Super Bowl because of that. There's a few other quotes. Obviously, McCarthy's got some legendary ones. One of my favorites is at the preseason meeting that they do. I don't even know what they call that, to be honest with you, so forgive me for that. But it was before the 2015 season, and he says, like, we'll proudly stand as the 98th team in the history of the Green Bay Packers when we go out and kick Chicago's ass. I was like, I love that shit. Like, hell yeah, we're going to go beat the Bears. And they did. There's other moments. Plenty of which obviously come to mind. You know, Mike McCarthy's part of plenty of bad things that have happened in Green Bay as well. You know, the loss to Seattle is obviously going to stick out in a lot of people's minds of something that was, it wasn't all his fault by any stretch of the imagination. To try and make it as such is ridiculous, but there's definitely some culpability to the head coach when something like that happens. But there's a lot of good. The personal story I have comes from when I was interning at Packer Report with Bill Huber. And I was covering the draft with Bill and Matt Tesh and Keith Roerdink. And I'm sorry if I butchered that last name, Keith, but I didn't really get how to pronounce that. So I apologize. The Packers had just drafted HaHa Clinton Dix. And I didn't really know how this whole process was going to work. I thought we were just kind of there watching the draft and writing stories. Turns out we got on a conference call with Clinton Dix. We got on, you know, we got to talk to Ted Thompson, and then Mike McCarthy came in the door, and, you know, we kind of started asking questions, and then me, I'm like trying to work up. I wanted to come up with a good question. I wanted this to be my galvanizing moment, trying to become a reporter in this business. Obviously, it hasn't worked out that way, but that's what I was looking for at that time. And I asked Mike a question, and he looked right at me, and he kind of smiled. I have a hunch that he knew I was a new guy. And he could have given an evasive answer. He could have said nothing while also saying something. But instead, he answered the question. And he gave me a pretty good answer. It was a pretty good soundbite. It was one of the quotes in the story that I got to write that year. And that was cool. That was like the first big, big story I got to write ever. So that was cool to me. The cool part actually comes the next year. As I am working on the field for NFL Films for a game, and McCarthy walks by me after the game, and he looks right at me, and he kind of looks at me in the eye and gives me one of those, hey, I kind of know you look. And he looks at me, and he kind of shakes my hand and says, you know, I hope things are working out for you. He didn't have to remember me. And maybe he didn't, but I really, really feel like that he did. And for him to say something like that when he didn't have to, that to me sums up the guy that Mike McCarthy was. And again, I'll readily admit, you know, maybe my feelings are getting in the way as far as this firing goes, but I was always going to be loyal to Mike McCarthy after that, because again, that's the kind of, I'm a nobody. I'm not Aaron Rodgers. I'm not a head coach for an opposing team. I was an intern for a magazine for somebody that covers his team. Now, he remembers Bill Huber, obviously, because Bill's in there every single day. He remembered me when he didn't have to, and that's something I'll always appreciate. The person that Mike McCarthy is, the person that Mike McCarthy will remain, is far going to survive anything that he does as a head coach. The Packers have been very lucky to have him as their head coach for the last 12 years and 12 games. Obviously, his time has run its course. I've been talking about how I think it's time for him to move on. I also firmly believe that he will be successful anywhere he goes as the next team's head coach, whether that's Cleveland or somewhere else. It really sounds like it's going to be Cleveland, but we never know until it's signed on the dotted line. Looking at you, Josh McDaniels. Whatever team gets him is going to be lucky to have him. Not just because I believe he's a good head coach, but he's a better man. He'll establish a culture. You want that leader of men statement that I was making earlier. Mike McCarthy is that. He never criticized his players in the media, save for Eddie Lacy once. And he protected his players at all costs. There were some things that happened to him here in Green Bay that were unfair to him. The example I give is, you know, Josh Sitton gets cut, a decision Mike McCarthy doesn't make. Ted Thompson avoids the media like he always did, and McCarthy has to stand there and take these questions that he can't possibly give good answers to. He wasn't really part of that decision-making. But he handled everything very well. I can't think of a time where I sat back and went, man, other than the Eddie Lacy thing, like I mentioned, but there aren't a lot of times I could sit back and go, man, you handled that poorly. You know, there's coaches that Greg Popovich is a dick to reporters every single time he gets an opportunity. I personally think that's bullshit. And I think that the way Mike treats the people around him, he was loyal to a fault, no doubt. What a wonderful quality as a person. So that'll always be my favorite story about Mike McCarthy, is the personal interaction I got with him. And the fact that, yeah, he took the time to remember some random dude and wished me well. So that's my favorite moment. Obviously, you know, professionally, there's some other things. Winning the Super Bowl, he's the head coach of the last team to win a world title for the Green Bay Packers. The most special day that I will ever have in terms of sports will be Super Bowl 45. That'll never be topped. I know that because it's the first championship I was old enough to really remember for by far my favorite team, and McCarthy was the head coach for that team. So I'll always appreciate that. I'll always appreciate Mike. I know, again, a lot of people are going to celebrate that he got fired. I won't be one of them. There were a lot of people that I think are probably mad at me at this point because I did receive a couple phone calls after it happened. And I said, I'm not going to celebrate. I'm sad. I'm upset. I know it's the right move, or eventually it would be the right move, even if they did it and waited till Black Monday. But that doesn't mean I can't be upset about it a little bit either. So that's how I feel about that. Mike, if you're listening, I wish you luck wherever it is that you end up next. We were lucky to have you for the 12 years that we did. And you know, thanks for those things. I'll always be in your corner when it comes to those sorts of things. So, Jason, we're getting to the tail end here. We're talking about, you know, Joe Philbin and Mike Pettine and how all these different things are going. Is there any semblance of hope? I guess now, you know, the question is, Aaron Rodgers was asked after the game if, you know, DeShone Kizer would get an opportunity to start, and his response was, hell no, which I thought was kind of funny. But his response is, hell no, I've got to see this thing through sort of thing. Do you give any credence to the idea that maybe Aaron Rodgers sits once this – I don't know if the team's mathematically eliminated or not. I'm not a mathematician. Like I mentioned the last show we did, I failed my geometry final, so that's the last bit of math that I really took. So it's been a long time. But with the team eliminated from the playoffs, do you give any credence to the idea of letting DeShone Kizer just kind of – get his ass kicked for the last couple games? Or is this Aaron Rodgers and playing the games for pride and all those sorts of things as the last four games here play to a close?
Okay, well, this is, I hadn't thought about this. Aaron Rodgers is healthy enough to play football, and I don't think his ego isn't going to want a shot to go out there and light the hell out of a scoreboard, which we've been waiting for all season long for it to happen, and it just has not happened. But so for whatever light up a scoreboard is for Aaron Rodgers this season, apparently it's capped at about 350 yards and maybe 3 touchdowns at the most. But for him to want to go out there and improve and play well, try to play well against all these weird vortex energies and things that are keeping the Packers from succeeding, and play hard and make the results different than they've been, and show everybody, hey, McCarthy left, and look what I did the following week. Look what I did for the last 4 weeks of the season. If for no other reason, Aaron Rodgers is going to – I mean, there is a risk, but you're not going to – you know, I think they – I think the Packers need to start developing a new taste for next season, and I think that they're going to want to go out on a high note this season. It's not going to be on the playoffs in a playoff run. It's not going to be a playoff game. It's not going to be galvanizing, running the table, any of that stuff. But they can build some positive momentum with some of these young receivers that Rodgers is going to be playing with again next year. There's going to be a new crop of rookies that are going to come in, and he's going to have to get used to playing with them as well. But, you know, you go out on the last, Rodgers always talks about it all the time. He's got this, you know, good memory, all these things he remembers about what these guys do. I mean, you've got to create some good memories so that Rodgers feels energized going into next season, because he's going to be another year older, another year crotchety. And we saw what happened with Favre, and he got used to playing with certain guys. And, you know, you might as well turn some of these young guys into Rodgers' favorites, because if he's not, then they're not going to get the ball, and there's going to be more problems on offense. He's not going to trust them. So build it up. You know, build it up to that point. And this kind of goes off on another trail. Maybe we talk about it during a different show, but I personally, Jacob, I think maybe on the next show or next couple shows, I think we need to spend some time, a good amount of time, on Aaron Rodgers, because I'm getting a little tired of some of the things that I'm seeing from Aaron Rodgers on the field, and his body language, the things that he's saying, some of the things that he's doing. You know, he's talking about, you know, you get what you practice, and that's why he's not hitting open receivers, and he doesn't prefer to play with guy A, but he'd rather play with guy B. And everybody thought Jake Kumerow was going to go off today and have 3 touchdowns, and he was going to be the apple of Aaron Rodgers' eye all day. You know, the guy caught one ball. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I don't care whether or not you're used to playing with. Throw the ball to the guy that's open, and you play with who you've got on your team and your roster, all of that. Get over yourself, bro. You don't run this team, okay? We're going to bring talent in. This is, you know, I say we, like, as if I'm Brian Gutekunst, Mark Murphy, you know, the brain trust. The team is going to bring in talent, and, you know, like it or not, Aaron, a good 7 or 8 guys next year are going to be flat-out rookies who have never played a single snap of NFL football in their lives. Deal with it. Play with them. Make them better. Make that part of your legacy. Make that part of the story of what Aaron Rodgers was. He adjusted. He grew. He rose up after a terrible 2018 season and made those around him better and really took on the role of a mentor. And led this team to what I hope is another title, but since titles are hard to win, be great again. Get us to a conference championship. Get us to a deep playoff run. Bring some magic back to Green Bay. That is what I think we probably should drill down on, what we should talk about. It's obviously not going to happen this season, but I don't want to see Aaron Rodgers sit. I want to see him building for the future, because there's a lot of, like I said, there's going to be a lot of guys that he's going to be playing with next year, and I don't want to listen to this crap about trust and a lack of chemistry, and that's all that's sitting over these next 4 weeks is going to do. And I'm not in for another season of that crap.
So there you have it, everybody. According to Jason Perrone,
the next Green Bay Packers head coach should be Donald Trump, because he is here to make Aaron Rodgers great again. I can't think of a better way to close this show than that. Somber show. Obviously, we mentioned, you know, the Packers lost. That's the least of the storyline today. The storyline is Mike McCarthy has been fired. He is no longer the head coach in Green Bay after 12 years and 12 games. He finishes his career with a win percentage just a shade under 63%, won a Super Bowl, played in other NFC title games. We've mentioned the good. There's plenty of bad. There's just – it's an odd time in Green Bay. I think that's fair to say. Is, you know, the Packers are as dysfunctional as they've been since the summer of 2008. And it's interesting. I mean, that's going to make for good content here as the season closes. The Packers have four games left. It starts next week in Atlanta. I personally don't think that we need to break down that game. I think that the, you know, the mood of the show is all about the head coach. And, well, now former head coach, I should say. It sounds like Mike McCarthy's going to end up in Cleveland. Matt Verderami, and I apologize, Matt, again, if I butchered your name, a fan cited. I said sources are telling him that they're already working on McCarthy being the next coach in Cleveland. That's something that makes a ton of sense. John Dorsey used to be here in Green Bay with Alonzo Highsmith and Elliott Wolf. They know Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy is close with John Dorsey. It makes sense. He'll be good for Baker Mayfield. He'll be good for that Browns team. A Pittsburgh guy beats the Steelers in the Super Bowl in Green Bay and then goes to Cleveland to take down the Steelers as that reign in the AFC North goes to end. It's an interesting time to be a Packers fan or somebody that's following the Packers, and we will be here all season and off season until the Packers hire a new head coach, whoever that may be. And that'll all remain to be seen. But that's where we're at. For right now, though, Mike McCarthy is out. Joe Philbin is in. And I think we can all agree in hoping that, with all due respect to Joe Philbin, we don't want him to be the next head coach in Green Bay. So that's going to do it for today's show. Jason, by far, I think the most interesting show we've done in maybe the history of our partnership here together, because it's the most interesting storyline. Obviously, we haven't had a Super Bowl. We haven't had the NFC Championship game. The run the table run obviously ranks up there, but they ran into a buzzsaw in Atlanta. So that game wasn't even interesting really from the jump. So that's where we're at there. Be sure to check out PackersTalk.com for all your latest Packers news and podcasts. Follow the show on Twitter. We are at Packer Pulse. Thank you guys for chiming in with your questions and everything today. We appreciate the feedback and everything. You can follow me personally. I'm at Jacob Westendorf. And you can follow Jason. He is at Jason Perrone. Four games left, guys. It's painful to watch. I know that. But that's what we have to put up with for the remainder of this season of what is going to go down as one of the most disappointing seasons in the modern history of the Green Bay Packers. Even if they went out and finished 8-7-1, they're not going to make the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers has started every game in this scenario, obviously. But it's going to go down as a disappointing year. There's no doubt about that. But for now, we are signing off. Thank you guys, as always, for listening to Pulse of the Pack.
Of the Pack Podcast.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.